I invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read verses 8 through 20. As we consider this morning a phrase from verse 15, the last part of that phrase, that which the Lord hath made known unto us. That which the Lord hath made known unto us. Follow along, please, as I read verses 8 through 20. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass. And then the title of our message, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. We have almost the same phrase, that which was made known unto them. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the account of the nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the perfect God becoming perfect man. We are so thankful today for the cross work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we pray, dear Father, as we seek to communicate your word from this passage, that your Holy Spirit would be at work at hearts and lives. Lord, I pray that you would draw sinners unto yourself and that you would cause your people, Lord, to be closer to thee, that they might understand the importance of walking with thee and living their lives according to the authority of the Word of God, that which you have made known unto us. And we'll give you the glory and the praise for all that you do today. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The claims and teachings of biblical Christianity are based solely and completely on evidences and events that are recorded in the Word of God. The revelation that God has given to us. These events actually occurred and are accurate because they are recorded in the Bible. Now we need to understand that that is the basis, the foundation of our faith. It's that which is recorded in the Word of God. The Bible is not just a book. It is the book of books. It is supernatural because it came from God. The Bible is special revelation. Let me distinguish two types, please. First of all, general revelation that we read about in Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2, that which is intended for all men and is limited by its very nature. It reveals only the reality and majesty of the Creator God. We see this in creation. We have the testimony within our conscience that there is right and wrong that's been implanted there by God Himself. We read about that in Romans chapter 2. But this revelation cannot express the personality and love of God. That can only be expressed through the immediate or special revelation given to us in the Word of God. How do I know that God loves Todd Brainerd? Because the Bible tells me so. That's my anchor. That is my understanding because the Bible says so. Because of sin, man reads the general revelation in nature incorrectly. That's why we have the complete explosion of secularism today. Humanism, secularism, evolution is the misreading of creation. Creation tells us that there is an Almighty God. But the sinful heart rejects that general revelation as well as the special revelation that's given to us in the Word of God. The Bible is special revelation. God has chosen to reveal Himself and His program for all existence in a number of ways. Through providence, through miracles, through direct communication with individuals by dreams, visions, and direct speech. However, the greatest way and the way which you and I today receive God's Word is through the work of the Holy Spirit and the testimony of recorded Scripture. It's the Word of God. It's not my opinion that matters. It's what God says in His Word. The Bible provides the most extended and accurate comprehension of God and of His program than any of the forms of special revelation used. Now, I want to say that again because we need to understand that. This goes past emotion. This goes past feelings. This goes past, I heard a message through the radio. This goes past all of the things that we hear today. The Bible makes it very clear, and it is the most extended and accurate comprehension of God and of His program than any of the other forms of special revelation used by God in the past. We have a more sure word of prophecy. That is such a beautiful passage because it makes it clear. Peter was an eyewitness to the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. He saw it with his own eyes. And yet Peter, by the pen of inspiration, says, I saw it with my own eyes, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the Bible. And it's more accurate than my eyes. That's what Peter is saying. What a wonderful testimony. And yet, what is exalted today? Well, my opinion and what I saw. You can't argue with me with what I saw. Well, wait a minute. Even Peter said, I saw the ascension, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the record of the Scriptures. And so we go to that to anchor our souls. This concept, this truth, is illustrated in the beautiful account of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and specifically with the account of the shepherds learning of the birth of the Messiah. And that's what I want to emphasize with you this morning and also tonight. This special emphasis about how God revealed His Word to the shepherds. And I think through this, I think we can have another nail upon which to hang ourselves in regard to the authority of the Word of God. 2014 has been a special emphasis from this pulpit on the authority of the Word of God. By God's grace, we have sought to communicate that this book is the anchor of your soul. You better not put your anchor out on the ocean of this world on anything other than this book. Because if you put yourself in another place, you will drift away. We were talking last night, Bill was sharing about how his dad years ago used to put a Christmas tree on an old juniper log float, and they would pull it out there to the middle of the lake, and then they would take long ropes and tie it off on around the lake there to make sure that it didn't drift away or so forth like that. And we were talking, Bill said, I have no idea where that old juniper tree float is. Maybe it's out there somewhere or sunk somewhere. I don't know. But, that float worked for taking that tree out there. He had a long extension cord, and he would plug the tree in. And so out in the middle of that lake, you'd have the pretty lights reflecting the Christmas tree that was out there. Now, I want to tell you something. You know, I know that wood floats, but I wouldn't want to be on the ocean of life in a man-made raft. And that's what a lot of people are building today. And at this Christmas time, they're constructing their little raft that they're going to float out into life in. And I want to tell you something. It will sink. It will sink. If you are not in the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, you will sink in this world and you will be destroyed. Now, the last phrase of both verses 15 and verse 20 show us the depth of revelation that is given here. The word egnorizon is the word that is used here concerning to make known, that which God hath made known unto us. It's a Greek word in the aorist tense, and it means to make known, or literally, a direct action of God in time of giving knowledge. In the aorist tense, and I have the Greek scholar that helped me with this, make sure that I had this correctly understood about the aorist tense. It is a definite act of God in a period of time whereby God revealed knowledge concerning Himself or concerning facts that He wanted communicated. Now, this is important to understand. God chose to give this knowledge in time to whom? Shepherds. Shepherds. Now you talk about something that goes against the grain of culture. We would much rather have done it differently. We would have had that knowledge delivered to the great ivory halls of a university, where that knowledge could be dispensed down to all the students and so forth. We've received this knowledge, but no, God chose to deliver this revelation in time to a small group of shepherds. That moves me when I think about this. Every time I read this passage of Scripture, twice we're told, that which God hath made known unto the shepherds. Again in verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Again, God in His Word, with this story of the coming of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, emphasizing the veracity of the revelation of God to these shepherds. I want you to think, first of all, with me concerning the declaration to the shepherds. The declaration to the shepherds. The appearance of the angel startled and frightened the shepherds, we're told in verse 9. The angel reassured them and then proceeded to announce Christ's birth to them. Their announcement tells us much about God and His love to us. I want you to think for just a moment. First of all, it tells us that God cares for the lowly person. God cares for the lowly person. I did some reading in Josephus' writings, The Antiquities of the Jews, to find out a little bit about shepherds. I wanted to kind of find out about their standing in society. I've always known them to be lowly individuals, but I learned some things that I did not know concerning shepherds that I want to share with you. The shepherds were considered to be the lowest social class in Jewish society. They were lowly. The Talmud court of the Jews forbade the witness or testimony of a shepherd. Now think about that for just a moment. The Talmud court would not allow a shepherd to be a witness or a testimony concerning anything in their court. That's how lowly they were. Their testimony was not trusted because they were a shepherd. Society did not think much of the shepherds, but isn't it interesting to you and to me that God revealed this special revelation to shepherds abiding in their fields, keeping their watch over their flocks at night? Although not allowed as witnesses to give testimony in a Jewish court, God cared so much that He made them witnesses of the wondrous birth of our Savior. Though they could never testify or be a witness in a court there in Jerusalem, He allowed them to be a witness and a testimony of all the things that were done in Bethlehem, the revealing of the Christ child. Now that speaks volumes to me. It is interesting that the shepherds received God's Word and they were glad to receive it. How many people sit in churches all across America and around the world who sit there maybe with an open Bible, but they're not glad to receive God's Word? These shepherds came to Bethlehem. Let us go see that which God hath made known unto us. And then in verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. They heard the Word of God and they saw it with their own eyes. Hearing of the Word produces faith. When they heard the Word, they're an illustration of Romans 10 and verse 13. They're an illustration. They heard the Word and they said, let us go and see that which hath been told unto us. And when they saw it, they believed the Word, and when they saw it, they rejoiced in that Word. Folks, we need to examine ourselves. God chose to reveal special revelation to the shepherds, and they were glad to receive it. How about you this morning? How about you and I as we gather together in a Sunday school class or in a worship service? Does our mind just start working immediately about cutting down and criticizing what the teacher said? Oh, I would have never said it that way. I would have done it this way. And immediately go into this critical mindset where you miss the message because of the way you would have done it differently. Or maybe you don't like the illustration that was given. And you go off on the tangent and you miss the target. So many times this happens in a church service or revival service or maybe some other type of service where the Word of God is being communicated. And we miss the target because we got on a tangent. We have a responsibility to be like the shepherds. The shepherds didn't bring anything but themselves to the manger. They didn't come with all kinds of intellectual arguments about why this couldn't be true. That those angels really did not exist. That we just had a dream or something. Maybe we had a bad potato for supper tonight and we're seeing things. No. They believed by faith the Word of God, and then they acted upon the Word of God. Now, I want you to think secondly. Not only does God care about the lowly person, but God cares about the laboring person. I thought about this in regard to verse 8, where it tells us that these shepherds were abiding in their fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They were on the job while others were sleeping in their homes. As a boy growing up, I watched my dad go off on shift work. He worked all the years I was growing up. He worked shift work. He worked days, he worked evenings, and then he would work what was called the 11 to 7 shift, the night shift. And I can remember those many days when my dad would come walking in, and on winter times he'd have on his big old suit, the maintenance suit that they had to wear, and you could smell the plant on him. All right? I can remember the smell of sulfur, especially. He'd come walking in, and as soon as the door opened up, you'd smell Dad was coming in. And he had worked all night long. And he would come, and he would sit down at the table, usually with us. He'd have our Bible reading with us, and then it was off to bed, and we had to be quiet before school, and then he would be up in the afternoon, we'd get back, and then it was off to work again at 11 o'clock. And he worked that for, 40-something years? 45 years he did that. Sometimes on days, sometimes on afternoons or evenings, as they were called. But, you know, it takes a special kind of a person, I think, to work all night long and to do it for a week span. I really appreciated my dad. He worked really hard during those years. And I tried to do that one time. When I was in college, I worked the late shift. I worked from 11 to 2. And I want to tell you something. At 2 o'clock in the morning, the only thing I wanted to see was my pillow. I would just make my way back, and I was just fighting off. Have you ever had jet lag? Jet lag is the most awful thing. You fly for, and your days and nights are all mixed up. And I especially have trouble with it if I've traveled long distances. That jet lag gets a hold of me, and I can't walk, I can't see, I can't do anything. I just want to go lay down and sleep. Well, that's the way it feels whenever you're trying to stay up all night long and then try to sleep during the day. You ever tried to do that? People in Alaska somewhat appreciate that. They have their days and nights mixed up at this time of the year. I was speaking to someone just this past week that came down from Alaska and said, "Oh, sunshine." He was commenting on, I said, "Oh, we're in the sunshine state. We got a lot of it." And he said, "Yeah, this time of the year, it's kind of dark where we are. We only have 4 hours of sunlight. And sometimes that sunlight will come at midnight. And that's whenever you get to enjoy it. And then it's gone. It's dark all day." So I don't pretend to know all about that, but I do know this, that God cares for the laboring man. And I want to show this to you. They were on the job doing what they were supposed to do. What was their job? Well, they were tending the sheep that would be used for the sacrifices in Jerusalem. They were temple sheep herders. They were just 4 miles away from the Jerusalem temple, out in the wilderness there, outside of Bethlehem. Bethlehem is by a road to get to it. It's about 8-9 miles. But if you go across the little desert area there, it's only like 4 or 5 miles to get in there. And that's where the sheep was tended that would be used for the sacrifices there in the temple. That was their job, to make sure that those sheep were not harmed. Why? What was the requirement of the sheep? The sheep had to be without blemish. All right? Now, I want you to think about it. Maybe you've never thought of it this way. Here are these lambs that are to be protected and kept from wolves to make sure that there were no blemishes on there, because the requirement was that when you went to the temple to sacrifice, you were to bring a sheep or a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so what did that require? That required that you had to stay up and take care of the sheep at night to make sure that nothing would injure them or hurt them. And so they were on the job. Now, let me ask you, are you laboring? I know that many of you are. Many of you have jobs that require great labor. I want you to know, for those that labor, that God cares for you. There's something that the Bible emphasizes about the honor of work. Do you realize that labor and work was before the sin act by Adam? Labor was not a result of the fall. Labor was before the fall. It's honorable. God intended for Adam to what? Tend the garden. To labor in the garden. God honors and cares for the laboring individual. Now, it is to the burdened soul that Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest." Matthew 11 and verse 28. The Bible makes it clear that He not only loves and cares for the lowly person, but He cares for the laboring person as well. And then there's a third group that I want to bring to your attention here from these shepherds that I think it's important to bring out. Third, God cares for the learned person. What do we learn from this text? They knew some of the information related to the Messiah and where He would be born. The angel said the city of David. These shepherds knew what that city was, Bethlehem. There's other indications in this passage as well that they had some biblical and historical understanding of the promised one that would come, the Messiah. Sometimes overlooked about these shepherds is their knowledge of the coming Messiah. They were lowly, yes, but they knew about the temple and the scriptures, for these shepherds kept the temple herds, those lambs that were to be kept spotless. They had been ordered. They had been taught that these lambs are used for sacrifice. They're different from other lambs. These lambs must be kept without blemish and without spot. If they have blemish or spot, they're not to be used in the temple sacrifices. They understood the teaching of Scripture regarding offerings, sacrifices, and forgiveness. They knew the promises made of a Savior. They knew the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. This was one reason why they responded to the angelic message and came searching. They were not unlearned. They knew the Scripture and God's promises. Let me ask you, do you know your Bible? I didn't ask you, do you know about your Bible? I asked you, do you know your Bible? We are living in a day and time where few people take time to study their Bibles. Take the time to read the Scriptures and to study the Scriptures. And I'm not just talking about a cursory reading, but I mean to get down to business and study the Word of God. You will not find the Word of God authoritative until you get into the study of the Word of God and the convicting power of the Spirit begins to work in your heart. That's when it comes about. It's when you get serious about studying, then the Spirit of God starts to work. Some people say, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, that means that the Holy Spirit's not teaching you. Very simple. The Holy Spirit's not teaching you. What's the problem then? Perhaps there's sin in the life, or perhaps you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. God doesn't keep His children in the dark. God wants His people to know. And that's why He gave this revelation to the shepherds. The declaration to the shepherds shows that God loves the learned as well as the lowly and the laboring individual. He is no respecter of persons. I'm just going to introduce verse 15 here. The decision of the shepherds, and tonight, Lord willing, we'll finish this up. Verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. Now, this is the point in time. Right now, what are we going to do with the revelation that's been given to us by this angel? What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with the Word of God? It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. What was it that was made known? That the Christ child was born that evening in a shepherd's stall, a stable, that that child was the Messiah, the Christ child. That was the specific revelation that was given to them, and they acted upon the truth that they had been given. This decision was a wonderful example of people acting by faith in the Word of God. And I'm going to emphasize that, Lord willing, tonight as we take this passage up again. Acting by faith. What must happen first before I act by faith? I've got to hear the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This decision by the shepherds was a wonderful example of this. What are we going to do? Let us go and see this thing which the angels have told us have taken place, which they have made known unto us. People, and I'm going to leave you with this thought. You are not to go to God's Word and walk away the same person you were when you started. The Word of God is to take root in your heart and to change you. There needs to be a changing process that takes place in your life every day. You never grow to be a greater Christian than the Bible. You understand me? In other words, you never reach a point, well, I don't need to study the Bible anymore. I'm a good enough Christian. That's wrong. That's wrong kind of thinking. We have a responsibility to go to the Word of God. He has made known His will to us. He had given special revelation to these shepherds, and they acted upon that special revelation. They went to see the Christ child. It wasn't because they were going to go to prove the angels right. That's not why they went. They went because they believed the angels' report. There's a big difference there. I've read in some of the commentaries, well, they went to see whether this was really true or not. I don't believe that that is the example at all, because they believed what they were told, the Word of God. And we're living in a day and age where we doubt everything. And it's a neat thing to doubt everything. You shouldn't accept anything. Well, when it comes to the Word of God, you should accept it, because it is indeed revelation from God to you. And this revelation was made so that lost sinners might know that God loved them and that God did something about it. Rather than just saying, I love you, He did something about it by sending His only begotten Son. And this special revelation of His actual birthday was made to a group of shepherds who acted upon the truth of the Word of God. Would you bow your head, please? Father in heaven, we thank You for this account that's given to us in the Word of God. I thank You for these shepherds, men that acted upon the truth of the Word of God. Lord, I know that society didn't think much of them. They couldn't even give testimony of any kind of act in a court of law because they were not allowed to come in. Their witness was not accepted as worthy. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You might help us to humble ourselves under Your mighty hand, and that we might accept the Word of God as truth, as special revelation that we are allowed to possess, and that we might call upon Thy Holy Spirit to teach us, that we might be able to grow in our knowledge of the Word of God. There may be some here today, Father, that can't call upon the Holy Spirit because they're not saved. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that they might accept the Word of God, that they might understand that Jesus Christ loved them and died for them on Calvary's tree, that they might have atonement for their sin, that they might be able to have the righteousness of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that they might be made fit for heaven, because in our sinful state, there's no way we're going to heaven. But through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the currency of heaven, we will be able to spend all eternity with Thee. Father, we thank You for the Christmas story, and I pray that You might use Your Word to touch our hearts and lives, that we might accept Your Word as truth, and that we might give Your Word, that we might go forth glorifying and praising God as the shepherds, because of what they had heard and seen. We ask now Your special blessing, Father, upon these people gathered here. And I pray that Your Holy Spirit might work in hearts. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.